إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحديث 27 من الأربعين النووية. Tonight we're going to study inshallah together the hadith number 27 from the 40 hadith that are compiled by Imam al-Nawawi. And we're going to study from the explanation of our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى from his book المنحة الربانية في شرح الأربعين النووية. عن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: البر حسن الخلق، البر حسن الخلق، والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس، وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. وعن وابس بن معبد رضي الله عنه قال: أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: جئت تسأل عن البر؟ قلت: نعم. قال: استفت قلبك، البر ما اطمأنت إليه النفس واطمأن إليه القلب، والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وتردد في الصدر، وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. Hadith al-Hasan. Naam. In these two narrations here, he mentioned the first on the authority of An-Nawwas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, bir is husn al-khuluq, is good manners. While sin is something that it's in you, you feel it, and you dislike that others know about it. You don't want other people to know about it. And on the authority, this colleague of Imam Muslim is Sahih. And on the authority of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu, who said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, you came to ask about birr. You came to ask about birr? I said, yes. Prophet ﷺ, he said to him that birr is what قَالَ إِسْتَفْتِي قَلْبَكَ, that birr is everything that pacifies your soul and soothes your heart, and soothes your heart. While sin is something that doubts your soul and strains your heart, although others give you different verdicts, even though others give you different verdicts. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, said in the explanation, هذاني الحديثان في بيان البر بما لا يكون وبما لا يتحقق. He said these two narrations are about al-birr. It's a good term, al-birr. How a person achieve this excellence of birr. قال والبر كلمة جامعة لكل خصال الخير مثل التقوى جامعة لكل خصال الخير والبر ضده الإثم. So this word al-birr is a term that comprehends and includes all good, like taqwa. Taqwa likewise, when it's mentioned, it includes all good, all the characteristics of good. And its opposite is ithm, sin. And these two terms are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Verse number 2. قال الله تعالى وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. Help and assist one another upon birr and taqwa, all good. And do not assist nor help one another upon sin and transgression. قال والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذين الحديثين بين البر والإثم. He said in these two narrations, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made clear to us and defined for us the birr and ithm. قوله البر حسن الخلق. In the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he says البر is good manners, حسن الخلق, يعني أن حسن الخلق نوع عظيم من أنواع البر. وليس أن البر كله محصور في حسن الخلق, وإنما حسن الخلق هو أعظم أنواع البر, هو أعظم أنواع البر, كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج عرفة. First, the Sheikh explained to us the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he says, "Bir is good manners." So, how we understand this statement? We understand this that good manners are one of the greatest of types of bir. That good manners is one of the greatest of all acts of good. This doesn't mean that bir is limited to good manners. But what it means that good manners are the greatest of all acts of good. And the Shaykh gave a similar statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he says, الحج عرفة. Like word for word translation mean حج is عرفة. Does it mean that a person go in عرفة and come back home and he has حج? No, it's not the case. Person have to do many other things. الوقوف بعرفة ليس هو كل الحج ولكنه أعظم أركان الحج. So standing in عرفة and being in عرفة doesn't mean that's حج. If a person just did that, he didn't perform حج. But what it means that without عرفة there is no حج. If someone misses عرفة, has missed Hajj, and he has to go next year and make Hajj. That's one of the greatest of the pillars of Hajj. وكذلك مثل قوله الدعاء هو العبادة مع أن الدعاء نوع من أنواع العبادة ولكنه أعظم أنواع العبادة. إذن فحسن الخلق نوع عظيم من أنواع البر. The Sheikh gave another example. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "الدُّعاء هو العبادة." دعاء is worship, and this is the sound hadith. As for الدعاء مخ العبادة, لا يصح. As for the دعاء is the core of the عبادة, مخ العبادة, hadith لا يصح. The hadith is not sound, but the hadith that is sound, الدعاء هو العبادة. الدعاء هو, not مخ. الدعاء هو العبادة. But word for word translation once again, that دعاء is worship. Meaning, that's it, just دعاء. But is worship only دعاء? That's all we do? That's all we command to do, make دعاء? No, we have to pray, we fast, we do other things. But what does it mean? See, if somebody don't have the correct understanding, he says, SubhanAllah, the Prophet said, dua is worship, that's it. No salat, no fasting, no hajj, jihad, nothing. Make dua. La. That means, once again, that dua is an act of worship, but is one of the greatest acts of worship. Now. So therefore, the Shaykh says, حسن الخلق, having good manners, it is considered one of the greatest of all types of birr of good. Ayna. وحسن الخلق معناه سعة البال والبشاشة في الاستقبال والتعامل مع الناس بمعاملة طيبة، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. What is حسن الخلق that is considered? It is not only that it is one of the types of good, that a good thing, but is the greatest of all good, the greatest of all actions of righteousness. What is it? He says, is that when you, for example, the Shaykh, he mentioned, when you meet others, you smile in their faces. That's how you meet your brothers, with a smile, with a cheerful face. That's good manners. And you deal with the people in a pure way, in a most beautiful and good way. That's good manners. That is considered one of the highest and the greatest of all actions of worship. When you meet the people with a cheerful face, Assalamu alaikum, hayyak Allah, kayfa halak, all time, not whenever you want. You don't just select certain people, you smile in their faces, but the rest, no. No, it's supposed to be in you. This is how you deal with your brothers. You know them or you don't know. These are Muslims, alhamdulillah. You deal with them, Assalamu alaikum, with a smile in your face. And you deal with them in the most beautiful way, the most gentle, nice way, how you deal with the people. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. When you deal with others, deal with them in the best manner, with the good manners, with the best manners. قال وهذه صفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله جل وعلا وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. And this was the quality of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because Allah praised him in the Quran. Allah says to him, you are on the highest standard of good manners, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله فحسن الخلق يشتمل على خيرات كثيرة ويكسب محبة الناس لصاحب الخلق الحسن. وأيضا إذا كان الداعية ذا خلق حسن أدى ذلك إلى هداية الناس بقبول دعوته, وهذا هو أعظم أنواع البر. He says, so good manners comprise many good, entails many good. And the one who have good manners, it is beloved by others. People love and respect the one who have good manners. And especially if that person is a da'i, is a person who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his good manners, people like him, feel comfortable around him, and Allah may guide people through what he's teaching, but with good manners. Some people, yes, they may have some knowledge on the haq, but they harsh. Don't know how to deal with the people. Push the people away. So people don't want to be around them. Not because they teach in falsehood, but because of their manners. وَهَذَا هُوَ أَعْظَمُ أَنْوَعِ الْبِرِّ. Shaykh says once again, and having good manners, it is the greatest of birr. This is the greatest of righteous deeds. Just wants to mention to you and share with you that from our noble scholar, they mentioned that when we talk about manners, it's not always manners with the people. SubhanAllah, this is, first of all, the greatest of all manners is the manners we should display with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayna. The manners with Allah. By worshipping none but Him, but He subhanahu wa ta'ala. By obeying Him, loving Him, staying away from disobeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have good manners. By praising Him, thanking Him, appreciating his favors and utilizing them in a way that is pleasing him. Likewise, he have good manners with his book. We have to have good manners with the book of Allah. We have good manners with the Messenger, with his sunnah. Good manners with his family members. Good manners with the companions, especially the Khulafa al-Rashidun. And all of the rest of the companions. We have good manners with the great a'imma of the deen. Mainly the tabi'un and atba' al-tabi'un. Have good manners with the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Have good manners with our parents. Have good manners with our neighbors, with our elders, those who are older than us. Have good manners, ikhwan, spouses between each other and the like. So this is a broad term, good manners. قال والإثم هو ضد البر. He says, as for إثم, it is the opposite of بر. ما يؤثم من الأخلاق والأعمال والأقوال. All the evil acts, what is related to manners, evil and bad manners, evil actions, or bad statements. All this includes in ithm. In ithm. Related to good, bad manners actually. People have bad manners. Evil actions and bad statements. وما حاك في نفسك يعني طرأ على النفس وحدثت به النفس لكن صاحبه يكرهه. وفي الرواية الأخرى وتردد في الصدر. فإذا كان صاحبه يتردد هل يصرح بها أو لا يصرح دل على أنه إثم. And he said that which you find sometimes in your soul. He said meaning that something that you be thinking about but you dislike it. But you dislike it. And so therefore, as in the other narration, you're hesitant, you don't want to like other people to know about it. This an indication that it is a sin, that is ithm. والمراد بالنفس هنا نفس المؤمن التقي. أما الفاجر فهو ليس ميزان البر والإثم. He says the soul here that is mentioned is the soul of a righteous believer, not the wicked one. إنما المقصود المسلم التقي الذي يعتبر استحسانه لشيء أو استقباحه له. But what is taken in consideration is the soul of a believing, faithful slave of Allah. He is the one who, when he dislikes something, it is bad. You see? Or will he like something that is good because he's a believer? Not the fajr, not the kafir and the weak ones, because the kafir, he may like something that is very bad. You see? And he may hate something that is the best thing. فالذي تكره أن تصرح به وتكره أن يطلع عليه الناس هذا دليل على أنه إثم. إذن فاتركه وتجنبه فتكون نفس المؤمن مقياسا وميزانا. Says, look, the believer now have this quality that anything that goes in your mind, in the mind of the believer, any feelings, any thoughts, that person dislike others to know about them, then you should know that that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing with the believer. It's a bad thing, so leave it. So your soul, yes, can be a balance for you. The believer, his soul. So you don't always have somebody gotta come up here, come to you and tell you, don't stay away from this. Now, as a believer, you know you're about to do something, but then you're like, what if somebody see me? What if somebody know I'm doing this? And you don't like that. give an example. Is this feeling when you were about to read the Quran? When you were about to read the Quran, does the believer say, "Oh, somebody, I'm going to read the Quran, but somebody can see me"? No. But if somebody now want to do something else, somebody struggling with some evil, like he person used to smoke, but now he quit, but now he's thinking about it. Is he just going to come outside after Salat and start smoking? Because it's not a good thing, right? No. If it's a good thing, he'll do it. Right or wrong. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. That's why he's hesitant. I cannot do it. No, that's what people are going to say. You see? So that tells him that's a bad thing. The kafir, he don't care. He's going to start smoking anyway. You know, they don't care. I don't care what the people think about them, what they say about them. You see? And likewise, the ignorant Muslims too, not just the kafir. There are ignorant Muslims who smoke on ihram in Mina and Arafat. People in Arafat stand and make them dua for smoking. Four, not just one, four, five, ten of them, they just smoking and talking. And nothing. They have no shyness. No haya, no modesty whatsoever. Especially in the best day ever. Khayrul ayyam. The best day is the day of Arafah. قال الشيخ فهذا أصل عظيم وهذا الحديث من جوامع الكلم التي أوتيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجوامع الكلم جمع جامع وهو ما يجمع معاني كثيرة وهذه صفة كلامه صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he said this is a great principle, and this hadith, it is considered from the hadith that they are called Jawami' al-Kalim, which means that, and the Prophet ﷺ, he's known with this quality, that he say a couple of words, and he means a lot. Al-Birru Husnul Khuluq, three words. But the ulama, they can explain them in volumes. And this is the quality of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to say a very short but concise statement that contains a lot of good and a lot of benefit. And this is also from, there's a big difference between the Salaf and the Khalaf. The Salaf, like the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and the Atba'at Tabi'een, the great A'imma, their kalam was very concise. They don't talk a lot. But it means a lot. But the people after them, they talk all day. And what is the benefit? They'll go over there and go around. But the Prophet ﷺ, he used to say two words, three words, and it means a lot. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just like talking a lot, but when you talk, it's like what you say. You say that which is beneficial. You say that which is beneficial, that the people reflect upon and will be a benefit for them. Not just sit there and sometimes a person go for advice and a person keep talking and the person regret coming talking to him. They regret. Now they holding him. He thought he's just going to go there for a couple minutes and then the person going to give him a nice advice and tell him go home and hold him for hours. Now, we remind one another with this hadith, with the ayats, with the Quran. One ayah will be enough for a believer. Al-Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, anyone who's seeking the truth, seeking to please Allah, one ayah, one dalil is enough. Don't have to keep talking to him. No, one ayah. Because he's going to take that ayah, if he doesn't understand much of it at that time, he's going to go home, he's going to... Well, now we don't even have to go home. Now with all of this technology and smartphones, he will just right there, he has tafsir, all the books of tafsir, and he will see what the ulama of tafsir, the ulama of the salaf said about that, and it will be a great benefit for him. one ayah. As our apostle, he keeps just talking to him, and he's going to forget what he's saying. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وفي حديث وابس بن معبد أنه جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن يسأله فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ابتدره. He says, and in the hadith of Wabis ibn Ma'bad, he came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the one who asked him first. So he has a question, he's coming to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he the one actually who asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, جِئْتَ تَسْأَلُ عَنِ الْبِرِّ. You came asking on birr. وَفِي رِوَايَ قَالَ أُخْبِرُكَ أَوْ تَسْأَلُنِي. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, when Wabisa came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, shall I inform you or you want to ask me? You see? Shall I inform you? Shall I tell you something? Or you want to ask me your question? Look at the respect of the companions. The great respect and their good manners. What this man says, what do you think he would say? I'm asking you a question. Ahsant. Qala, la bal akhbirni. Subhanallah. He didn't say, well, now I have a question. He says, no, inform me. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ is about to inform him. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man, look at the akhlaq of the Sahaba. He says, no, inform me. فقال جئت تسألني عن البر والإثم. He says, he came to ask me about good and evil. وهذا من علامات النبوة أن يطلعه الله عز وجل على جاء من أجله وابسة قبل أن يسأله. And he said, this is from the signs of his prophethood that he is a true prophet of Allah. Because Allah informed him and made him know the purpose of the visit of Wabisa. Why Wabisa came to the Prophet ﷺ. Because that's what he was coming to ask about. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that. So you're coming to ask about birr. ثم بين له صلى الله عليه وسلم أن البر مطمئنت إليه النفس وطمئن إليه القلب. He says, then the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him the answer. He said to him, what is birr? He says, birr, as Shaykh he explained it, كلمة تجمع كل خصال الخير. That this birr, it is a word, a comprehensive term that includes all types of good, all righteousness. He said to him, birr is that which pacifies your soul and soothes your heart. Something that you feel at ease with. When you're thinking about it, you're about to do it, you're at ease. You're not disturbed. That's why he says, وَالطُمَأْنِينَ دِدُّ الْقَلَقِ وَالْإِضْطِرَابِ. والطمأنينة هي الاستقرار وعدم التسرع أو القلق. فالمطمئن هو الثابت وضده المضطرب القلق. قلق فقلب المؤمن ونفس المؤمن. So the Shaykh says الطمأنينة is its opposite is القلق والاضطراب. Someone who is worried, he has worries, you know, and he's disturbed. And tuma'nina is associated with stability and ease, calmness. The righteous person is calm because he ain't doing nothing. He know he ain't doing nothing wrong. Right? You see? He's worshiping Allah. But the one who's, you know, hiding something, would he be calm at the moment? Huh? For example, somebody in a room reading Quran, doing alhamdulillah. Or somebody is been working somewhere, he's working in the office. Let's say he's cleaning this office, he's just doing his work. Then all of a sudden the manager or the owner of the office came in. What happened now? That person what's going to happen to him? Huh? Still doing his job. Nothing, because he's doing his job. What about another worker? He's working in the office, but then he looks around. There is gold, I don't know what. There is chocolate in there, money sitting there. And he's getting into looking at the drawers. Huh? Then the manager came in. What that person do? You tell me.
He's going to jump.
Jump is like, he'd be agitated, right? He may even start saying, I didn't do nothing, right? Nobody asked him a question. I didn't do anything. I was just like, I don't know, but please, man, don't fire me. You see? He's all agitated. So panic, right? That's the word I was looking for. Why he's panicking? Because he knew he was doing something wrong, right? Wrong. You know, like children too in the house. If they were doing what their parents tell them to do, mashallah, the parents come there, the grandparents, everybody come in the room, they still playing. Right or wrong? They don't even pay attention to who's in the room. But if the children get in trouble, they like, look, we're going over there to play, but now they're getting into something that they're not supposed to get into. Now if somebody get in the room, what they do, Mustafa? These children? Huh? They panic, right? They're like, oh man. You see? Likewise, the believer, if as long as he's worshiping Allah, he don't have to worry who's coming and who's not. Because he's doing good things. And he has ease, calmness, stable. But the person who's smuggling, huh? Can I use that word? And hiding something bad, he don't want other people to know about it. You find him is always panicking, disturbed, agitated, not comfortable, constantly looking, shaking, breathing. Even the way he breathes, right around his face, his looks, his moves. They're not like the one who's doing something good. Like the one who wants to get something that is not his. What would they do? Usually, if someone somewhere at work and somebody left a nice iPhone and then his nafs now is telling him, get it. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's a good thing or a bad thing, Sajid?
Bad.
That's a bad thing. So what are he going to do, that person? He's going to sneak to get it, see? He be looking, checking. He want to go get it. He get closer to it. Then he go back and see the hallway, anybody coming. Right or wrong? But if that's his phone, what are he going to do? His phone. Is it his phone and he sneak to get it? Huh? Never seen somebody sneaking to get his own property. No, he's going to go and get it. If someone say, hey, what you doing? Say, that's mine, man. What you doing? It's my property. But if somebody is going to steal something, as someone say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, no, it's not nothing. That phone, you're going to get it? Phone? What is the phone? No, that's a phone. I thought that was a trash. You see? Start to find excuses and they get agitated. Same thing. When we're human, when we do things that are pleasing to Allah, alhamdulillah, we're comfortable, see? But when we start doing something that is wrong, we're agitated, we're afraid somebody come. You see? I know. May Allah have mercy on us.
Amen.
And help us to do what is pleasing to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فالإثم يحصل في نفسك ولكن لا تجرؤ أن تظهره لو كان برا ما ترددت في الإعلان به إذن فترددك دليل على أنه إثم. Remember, the Sheikh is talking about the soul of the believer. Once again, he says, ithm, the evil and the sin, is something that occurs in the mind and the soul of a person But he cannot tell others about it. Can't. He just can't. He says if it was a good thing, won't think twice. He will talk about it. He will tell the people about it. He says, when you hesitate, you want to do it, but not now. I'll wait until the other guy go. And why? Why can't you do it in front of the other person? You see? Now he said, that means that is not a good thing. قال لأن الله جعل في نفس المؤمن نورا ومعرفة بالخير والشر. Says why? Because Allah has put in the soul of the believer a light that enabled the believer to distinguish between good and evil. Mm-hmm. The believer, he knows good and evil. قال تعالى إن تتقوا يجعل الله إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا. Surah Al-Anfal. If you fear Allah, if you have the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a criterion that will assist you and help you to distinguish between good and evil. Al-Furqan huwa at-tamyiz bayna al-khayr wal-sharr wal-darr wal-nafi'. Hada huwa al-Furqan. This Furqan, he says, is to be able to distinguish between good and evil. To be able to distinguish between what's good for you and beneficial and what's harmful. فنفس المؤمن يجعل الله فيها فرقانا تميز به بين الخير والشر. He says the soul of the believer, Allah put in it this furqan, which enable the believer to distinguish between good and evil. قال وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. قال فالفتوى من العالم وكذلك العبرة من نفسك كذلك. فإذا وجدت نفسك تطمئن إلى هذه الفتوى فهذا بر، وإذا وجدت نفسك تكره هذا الشيء فهذا إثم. والعالم ليس معصوما، فقد يخطئ أو يجيب على الظاهر ولا يدري عن الباطن، وقد يكون العالم عالم ضلال، والعلماء ليسوا سواء. فالمهم أنك لا تعتمد على الفتوى حتى تطمئن نفسك إليها، فإذا اطمأنت نفسك إلى هذه الفتوى فهذا دليل على أنها صدق وبر. أما إذا نفرت نفسك من هذه الفتوى ولم تطمئن إليها فاتركها، لأن بعض الناس الذي له هوى ورغبة في الشيء يقول ما دام أفتى فلان بهذا فليس علي شيء وهذا في ذمته. نعم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, when he mentioned that the bir is that which soothes your heart, you feel at ease with it. He says, even if other people give you a different verdict. Okay, when he says that the good and the evil, the good is that which you feel at ease with it. It suits your heart. But the evil is that which you dislike. It's waking you up in your heart and you're not comfortable with it. He says, for example, if a alim give you a fatwa, if you ask a question from a alim, from a scholar, and he give you an answer, then that answer will have an impact on yourself. If you feel comfortable, that's good, he says. But if you feel not, the alim give you the fatwa, but in you know that, look man, this is, the alim did what he has to do, but this is not for me. You see? Sometimes a person asks a alim about something, the alim, according to the question, he tells him, oh, that's you. It's okay, inshallah. But the person, he didn't say the details. You see? The Shaykh, he says, keep in mind that the alim is not ma'soom. Okay? The ulama, yes, the alim, he's a alim, rabbani, but he may make a mistake in that fatwa. So if the alim made a mistake, so what about you? You know that the impact of that verdict in you, no, it's not right. The Shaykh, he said also, Because the alim, he gave you an answer based on the information you presented to the alim. The alim doesn't know the reality, what you went through on this. You know? He said this, what is the ruling of this and this? Okay? He says the alim doesn't know what goes in your mind at that moment when you ask the question. No, he just listened to what you said. He says, keep in mind now that the alim may be a famous person who's upon misguidance. He's a misguided person. And so the ulama, they are not on the same level, he says. The ulama, they are not on the same level. He says, now, if an alim give you an answer, but your nafs is rejecting it, you should know that something is not right in there. You see? You should know something is not right. But if you present the alim with the right information and give you a verdict and you feel comfortable with it, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But if you're not comfortable, you should know that something is not right. Keep in mind, the Shaykh says, because the alim, if he's a good alim, a good scholar, he just answering your question based on what you provide him with the information. That's it. Even the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, he says, look, when two people come and present their cases, I just judge but whatever is apparent. Prophet ﷺ don't know the unseen. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, perhaps that one of you be more eloquent than the other. Eloquency play a big role. And therefore, I may judge for him over the other, but Allah knows. So if I give you something that is not yours, you should not take it. You see? Should not take it. Some people, man, they go on a lie in a question, Ya Sheikha, our Sheikh says. Who Sheikh says based on what you said? You see? Some people, they play games. And they take a general question, apply it on group of people. This is not how things is done. This is not how things is done. The Shaykh says, no. If the alim give you an answer, but it doesn't sit right with you, you should say, man, something wrong in here. Says you shouldn't accept it, and do something about that. Don't be like those. It's like, look, I don't care. That's the alim who give the answer. That's on him. What do you mean? You know it's not your right. Just because an alim give you, or a judge, a rule for your favor. Huh? That's it? Let me give you an example. What if you, two people, they dispute over a property, a car, a house, or property, whatever, a business. Just because one of them was so eloquent and tricked the other to sign some paper, whatever, and then he take him to the court, and the judge is like, you have any proofs? Yes, it's mine, man. 100%. Here's the papers. So the judge will rule, right? Based on the papers. But can that Muslim take that ruling? He knows it's not right, man. He knows he deceived the person. It's not, they 50-50. So he shouldn't take it. Even if the judge give it to him, he's like, no, can't take this. But it's not mine. I know. The Shaykh says, don't be like certain people that, I don't care, that's on him. He gave it to me. No. They remember, ulama, when they are asked, the judges, they ruled based on what is apparent, what they know. But if we know something, then we have to act upon what we know. Because we're going to stand in front of Allah, Allam al-Ghuyub, the one who knows everything. The Shaykh says, لَنَا نَقُولُ لَكَ فُلَانٌ لَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبُ وَلَيْسَ مَعْصُومًا وَلَا تَدْرِي عَنْ مَدَى صَلَاحِهِ وَدِينِهِ فَلَا تَعْتَمِدْ عَلَى مُجَرَّدِ الْفَتْوَى حتى تعرضها على نفسك فإذا وجدت نفسك مطمئنة إليها وليس عندك تردد فيها ولا كراهية فخذ بها وإذا وجدت العكس فاتركها هذا ميزان عظيم يسير عليه المؤمن فتوى الله أكبر. The Sheikh he gave a sincere advice, a good advice for those people who say, look man, the alim said and that's it, I'm going with this fatwa. So the Sheikh said, look man, that alim is not going to help you in Yawm al-Qiyamah in front of Allah. Okay? Because that alim does not know the unseen. And he's not perfect, doesn't make mistakes. And on top of that, especially if you ask someone who you don't know, the Sheikh, for his righteousness and his knowledge. Sometimes people, they ask anybody. They go to Imam of a masjid and ask him a question, give him an answer, take it. Later on, that Imam is a big Sufi. And they're like, but the Imam said, that's on him. What do you mean? He didn't even make, person didn't even check the person who he's asking. The Sheikh says, no man, the believer, he says, the believer doesn't accept any verdict until he sees his reaction within himself. If his nafs, this is the believer, not the wicked, if his nafs is comfortable with the statement, he takes it. But even if the verdict's in his favor, but something in him tell him, man, it's not right, he said he should leave it and don't act upon it. The Sheikh said this is a balance that the believer use in fatwa. Now you're seeking the haq and you didn't lie, you presented your case with details because you're seeking the truth to please Allah, you know you're going to stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Didn't the alim or the judge give you a verdict that you feel comfortable with? Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. But if the alim or the judge give you another verdict that you know is not right, man, didn't even sit with you. And the Sheikh says, don't just take it, man, because you know it didn't sit well with you. قال والآن كثرت شكايات الناس من كثرة الفتاوى وكثرة من يفتون فهذه علامة تميز لك هذه الفتاوى. The Sheikh said, especially now in our times, he says, people complain against others. And many people give Islamic verdicts. He said, now, as a believer, you use this balance in this hadith to help you to know the truth. Whatever your nafs is comfortable with, alhamdulillah, that's good for you. But if you find yourself running away from a fatwa or a verdict, you know that something is wrong in there. Something got to be wrong. فعليك أن تتجنبه. Stay away from it. ولا تقول أفتى فلان وقال فلان. Don't say, well, this person said this and this. Okay? وهذا شيء في ذمته, and this it's on him, not on me. قال هو عليه ما تحمل وأنت عليك ما تحمل لا يغني عنك من الله شيئا وقد تبهرج عليه أو تقول له كلام على خلاف الحقيقة وهو يفتيك على ما يسمع كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقضي على نحو ما يسمع لأنه بشر. The Sheikh says it's very important. Don't just say, look man, the alim said it's on him on يوم القيامة. No, he said it's on you. He says because the alim, he give you a fatwa based on what you said. He don't know what's in your head. You give him something, he give you the answer. Now you're going to use that answer to based on something else that the alim don't know about. No, he says, no good for you, he says. No good for you. That's if you ask a good alim. He said, no, but if you ask an evil one, a bad one, then he's going to tell you something bad. Still, even that's what your nafs may want it, still you're going to say, no man, I can't take this. Because you're not comfortable with it. He says, and the people, they just give you a verdict based on what they hear from you, based on the details you give them. He says, as the Prophet ﷺ used to judge between the people based on what he hear from them. because he is a human. And he mentioned the hadith, ikhwan, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, hadith Umm Salama radiallahu anha. قال سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خصومة باب حجرتهن فخرج إليهم فقال إنما أنا بشر وإنه يأتيني الخصم فلعل بعضكم أن يكون أبلغ من بعض فأحسب أنه صدق فأقضي له بذلك فمن قضيت له بحق مسلم فإنما هي قطعة من النار فليأخذها أو فليتركها. سبحان الله. Here's the hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, once he heard some people arguing as related, or they came for a judgment by the door of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ, he came out and said to them, I am only a human. A person will come to me, two opponents. Okay, they have a dispute over something, a matter. And he said, maybe some of you, they may be more eloquent. They present their case in a better way than the other. And I thought they were truthful. So therefore, I rule for their favor. Then he says, if I rule for anyone, the right of the other, what is the right of the other? It's only a qit'a min an-nar, a piece of a fire. Let him take it or leave it, subhanAllah. Let him take it or leave it. قال فعلى المسلم أن يتخذ هذا الحديث ميزانا يسير عليه فيما يسمع أو يقال أو يكتب من الفتاوى. خصوصا في هذا الزمان الذي قل فيه خوف الله وتجرأ الناس على الفتوى وعلى القول على الله بغير علم إلا من شاء الله. So it is incumbent upon the Muslim to apply this great hadith as a scale and a balance to use it on his way to Allah, on his path that lead him to Allah. Everything you hear people saying or is written, especially the fatawa, then you're a believer. You always wants what's pleasing to Allah. If something doesn't sit right with you, don't just act upon it because that's what you wanted. And he says, look man, it's on the alim. He says, no. Stop there. You stop. If you're not comfortable with that, you stop. And do more researches. He says, especially in the times when a lot of people speak with no knowledge. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. They give Islamic verdicts, fatawa, with no knowledge. They lie on Allah. They lie on the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you got to be careful. He says, a person should take from the fatawa, from the verdicts, what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not what's pleasing to himself. Of course, when a person have a dispute with another one, he don't want to lose. He wants to get everything. And that judge may give him everything. But he knows that not everything is his. He shouldn't take it. He shouldn't take it and tell the person, look man, you got nothing to tell me. Go to the judge. He gave it to me. Okay, well, that judge gave it to you, but he's a human, he could have made a mistake. Or based on maybe the case, how it was, but you're going to stand, that person going to stand in front of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he have to check these things. Okay? You have to check these things. When a people give him something that is not his, he's not comfortable with, didn't sit right, the sheikh, he says, تَجَنَّبْهُ. Don't act upon it. Don't accept it. You can investigate, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who benefit from these statements. Ada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Na alakhi.